Good morning. This is Metro Watch for Friday, May 21st, 2010. I'm Gloria Minot. These are some of the stories in the news at this hour. Montgomery County would furlough its highest paid workers for 8 days under a plan the county council endorsed yesterday. Employees who make more than $100,000 or more would be furloughed for 8 days, while those with salaries between $50,000 and $100,000 would be furloughed for 5 days. Employees with salaries less than $50,000 would be furloughed for 3 days. The Montgomery County Council wants about 10,000 county workers to take several unpaid days off, including police and firefighters. The school system has no plans to furlough employees. 600 employees of J.P. Morgan Chase will lose their jobs by the end of the year with the closing of the company's credit card center in Frederick. Tim Keefe, a spokesperson for the financial company, said the decision to close the center on President's Court was announced to employees on Wednesday. Keefe spoke from the company's credit card operations headquarters in Delaware. According to him, declining delinquent accounts and a need to create more business efficiency drove the decision. The center dealt primarily with delinquent credit card accounts. In the midst of his battle with the titans of Wall Street, President Barack Obama was nearly upstaged by a rodent. Obama had just begun a Rose Garden statement lauding the end of a Senate filibuster on his financial overhaul when some kind of rodent dashed out of the bushes to his right just outside the Oval Office. As photographers snapped away in the sun-drenched garden, the critter scurried straight past the gray podium with the presidential seal and made a beeline, for another set of bushes to Obama's left. Federal prosecutors say a Virginia woman has pleaded guilty to stealing nearly $400,000 from law journals at American University. 49-year-old Martine Tavakol of McLean, Virginia, entered the plea yesterday. She will be sentenced on September 22nd and agreed to make restitution. According to government documents, she had worked at American since 1981 and in 1998 became coordinator of law journals. That job included receiving checks made out to AU law journals. Prosecutors say she would deposit checks made out to the law journals to a secret bank account. She used the money to pay rent, credit card bills, and living expenses. Coming up, $7.6 million in settlement with the Small Business Administration. Attorney M.J. Snyder will talk to me about it in a moment. J. Snyder Esquire with the law offices of Snyder and Associates joins me this morning to talk about a settlement with the U.S. Small Business Administration. Claims process beginning, and that's what he wants to bring to your attention this morning. Good morning, Mr. Snyder. How are you?
Good morning. I'm outstanding. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How was the holiday?
It was very restful. Thank you.
All righty. So what are we talking about this morning?
This morning we wanted to announce essentially the beginning of a claims process for Small Business Administration employees nationwide, both those that are current employees as well as former employees. And it's a large settlement. We're talking about almost $8 million in overtime pay that these employees were not given in the past. And now the union is running a claims process to allow employees to claim their proper amount.
Which union is this?
This is AFGE Council 228, the American Federation of Government Employees. The president is Elaine Powell Belnavis in New York City.
And at the moment, you're asking past and present employees of the SBA to come forward?
We are. We've sent a letter to former employees and an email to all current SBA employees. There are some employees who will not be included in the class, such as managers and supervisors, but the vast majority of SBA employees, we believe, will be able to participate in the claims process.
This has been a two-year battle with the SBA.
And well, in truth, the grievance was filed by the union in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The case sat around for a little while, and the agency and the union fought it out and resulted in a settlement that is now being distributed.
I'm looking at the information I have before me. It also says the grievance also alleged damages on behalf of already FLSA non-exempt employees for comp time and suffer or permit violations. What are we talking about?
Well, in the federal government, employees are either exempt from the overtime statute, in other words, they're not covered, or they're non-exempt, which means they are covered. Our grievance, class action grievance, essentially alleged that a large number of employees were misclassified as exempt. So they weren't getting the benefit of the overtime statute. They were not being allowed a choice between comp time and overtime, mm-hmm. and they were not being paid for off-the-books work, such as coming in early, working through lunch, or staying late. We also found that those same types of violations were occurring for already covered employees, so the grievance covers them as well.
If someone is listening this morning to this interview and would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can go to overtime.com. That's the simplest way.
Uh-huh.
If they want to call our office, it's 410-653-9060 or 1-800-DISCRIMINATION.
All right, so it's 410-653-9060 to your office. And discrimination, what's the other one?
1-800-DISCRIMINATION.
1-800-DISCRIMINATION. MJ Snyder, thank you for joining me and sharing this information.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
You too. And coming up, defense attorney Christopher Liebig will talk to me on the 911 Wone murder trial that's going on right now. Next. This morning, news reports have said that the EMT and EMS personnel that went to the Swan Street address where the attorney Wone was murdered, Robert Wone, was murdered, found occupants that were either on their phone talking. One was sitting on Wone's bed while he was deceased, talking on his phone. Another was just doing what he normally does around the house. And still another was in tears, but they alleged that they didn't think those tears were genuine. We're talking about the 911 call and the Robert Wone murder trial. Christopher Liebig is a Virginia-based veteran criminal defense attorney and has served as lead defense in hundreds of state and federal criminal cases, including capital murder trials. Good morning and welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, Gloria.
So we're talking about the trial that's going on. As a defense attorney, what are some of the things we can bring to the public's attention? For example, the three men, what have they said in connection with the killing?
Well, I think one thing that is very interesting about this case is that it's not being tried to a jury, but it's being tried to a judge. And I think that from that you can tell a few things about sort of what the lawyers in the case are thinking. I mean, first of all, this is a case where the defense case here is grounded in logic and not in emotion. There are some swirls of suspicion around these guys. There's some smoke. But really, when you look at everything, it probably does not add up to a case.
Let's talk a little about what, as a layperson looking at this case and reading the news reports, some of them can be sensational, but some of them just get to the facts. And the facts are there were allegations that these men living in this house, cleaned up evidence. Cleaned up blood. I mean, when law enforcement officers went there, they were tampering and all that kind of thing. Had it been any other defense people in the household, one is a lawyer, I understand, would they have been having such a hard time bringing facts forward?
Do you mean, though, would it be hard for the police to bring facts forward?
Yes, yes.
I think the thing is we really don't know what happened. And they took a long time looking into this case. They're bringing forward the case now. They're bringing forward every fact they have. And in the end, I think that you can see from the beginning of the press reports, there was a lot of sensationalism. I'm not seeing that all coming out at the trial. When it comes to the cold facts of the case, again, suspicion is not enough for a conviction. So, I mean, when you have a case where you, in the end, you have to say, I don't know what happened. That's the kind of case where there shouldn't be a conviction.
All right. Is it normal for an allegation that someone broke in and murdered Mr. Won, and when the medical examiner examined his body, they allegedly found needle marks where it was alleged that a paralyzing drug was administered to him in about at least three places? Is that normal for a burglar to do?
Highly unusual. The whole case, Gloria, is very unusual. You're making a point. Something extremely strange happened here. There's no doubt about that, and that's why these guys are on trial, and I don't mean to minimize that. What I'm just saying is that from what I'm seeing, and there's been some very detailed coverage of the case on the Who Murdered the Guy website that you can look at the almost hour-by-hour coverage, what you're seeing being actually proven is not explaining what happened. And I think when you take the emotion out of it and just look at the logic, in the end, I don't know that it's going to be the least bit clear what happened. And in that kind of a case, you know, people shouldn't be imprisoned.
All right, let's talk about the testimony of Kathy Wong, the widow, and the EMS worker and the neighbor. Do you know what those witnesses have said?
I don't have it specifically off the top of my head what she said. I know she was one of the first witnesses, and I know she received a call from one of the guys in the house to tell her about the tragedy.
Would the 911 call help the defendant's case or hurt them?
Well, no. I mean, here's a one problem with that is, you know, when it happened in relation to when the police believe that he actually died. So in that sense, it hurts it. What it shows is that there was a delay. And what the government is arguing is that during this interim period between whenever he died and when the police were called, things were done that amount to obstruction of justice. I mean, they're not on trial for murder because presumably there's just no evidence that one of these guys committed it, not enough to take it to trial. But being on trial for obstruction, the 911 call, I mean, it's a good thing that they made a call eventually, but it hurts them because of when they made it and what could have happened in between. That's a negative fact.
Mm-hmm. What are the pros and cons of having a judge as opposed to a jury deciding this case?
Well, the defense attorneys in this case, all of them are very, very well respected and top-notch. You can be sure they made a very considered decision here, but generally you can tell a couple things from it. One is that they trust this judge. They trust her to be smart, and they trust her to be fair. And that their case, they believe, is grounded in logic as opposed to emotion. With the jury, in this kind of, you know, you do have more to deal with emotion. You have to worry more about the sensationalism. Judges are trained to rule on the facts only. And I think that the fact that it's just a judge helps when the defense is a logical one, not grounded in emotion, but grounded in logic.
So
likely is part of the decision.
So Mr. Won's trial here, he will be denied trial by their peers because a judge can make a much better decision than those who sit on a jury.
Not necessarily. Every case is different. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for jury trials, too. But when you're wanting it to be a decision that looks at the facts only, that is not, that emotion is not really the deciding factor, it can be better to have a judge. And it's completely case-by-case basis. And so I'm taking an educated guess that here, that's part of the decision to have just a judge.
As a person who's watching the proceedings, just watching what comes out in the news on a daily basis, it just smells. I mean, it's just something that's really, really bothersome. And to those of us looking on, at least most of us, we think if it were not the defendants that are now defending themselves, if there were other defendants, would lack of money, lack of the kind of power they have, because one is a high-powered attorney, and the rest, perhaps the proceedings would be quite different.
You know, Gloria, you're making a very good point. Something is, it does smell, there is smoke. And in our justice system, it can be very tough, but when you don't know what happened, there shouldn't be a conviction. As to the point about, you know, how people are treated differently within the system, I also agree with you there. You know, Not everybody has the same resources. I don't know, I have no idea what these guys have, but I do know that they have excellent attorneys who appear to be doing a great job. You're making a good point on both grounds. This is very strange, no telling what's going to happen. I'm just saying, from what I'm seeing, the government doesn't know what happened either.
All right.
At the end of the day. The judge may not.
All right. We'll watch and see what happens. You're also a novelist, in addition to being a defense attorney. What's your latest novel about?
It's about corruption and terrorism in the United States, namely in Montana. It's called Montanamo, and there's a lot about it on Montanamo.net, if anybody's interested in looking at it. It's been picking up. It's doing pretty well, and thanks for asking me about it, Gloria.
All right. Christopher Liebig, a Virginia-based veteran criminal defense attorney, has served as the lead defense in hundreds of state and federal criminal cases, including capital murder trials. He's also an expert consultant to the International Bridges of Justice, an international nonprofit organization devoted to training public defenders on how to represent indigent defendants in developing countries, including India, Cambodia, Vietnam, Rwanda, Zimbabwe, and Burundi. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Josh Williams is waiting patiently in the wings to talk to me about labor issues. We're going to go over a little this morning, and then when we come back, we're going to be doing We Ourselves, and we'll tell you about that in a moment. Josh Williams, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gloria. How are you and the WPFW family?
We're doing well. This is the last Friday that we have before the fundraising drive ends, and we're encouraging our listeners and our regulars here at WPFW who listen to us regularly and or listen to us sometimes to just call in at 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to make a pledge of support. So what's on your mind?
Well, this has been a very, very busy week, Gloria, what with the continuation of the DACON strike, the budget debate here in the district and also in Montgomery County, and political endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a very, very busy week, so where would you like to start?
Well, why don't we start about Vincent Gray. Labor has come out strongly in favor of him as a mayoral candidate. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, on Monday, the Metropolitan Washington Council board recommended to the delegates. The delegates accepted our recommendation to endorse Vincent Gray for mayor of the District of Columbia. We did that. I don't think that should be any surprise to anyone. We clearly were not going to be supporting this mayor. He's had over 3 years to prove himself, and in our opinion, he's turned out to be an anti-worker politician.
Mm-hmm.
The situation here, in our opinion, is that Adrian Fenty has determined that he would run this country as an imperial mayor, oblivious to the fact that you run a city with the consent of the governed. He has tried to demolish the workforce. He's tried to demolish the unions, and we see him as a total, total disaster in a second administration.
But, I had a conversation earlier this week with Terry Lynch of the Downtown Cluster of Congregations, and he talked about Labor's endorsement of Chairman Gray and also the fact that Mayor Fenty won some straw poll over in east of the river. Because I asked, why would that happen when some of the people who are most dissatisfied with the mayor live east of the river? And he said because the machinery that Mayor Fenty has knows how to go around to different areas and get people out to do what needs to be done to keep him in power.
That may very well be the current case. We have not. That was prior to our involvement. I can only speak to what Labor plans to do we plan to be engaged in working not only our members, but also working people who are not official members of unions. The campaign, as far as I'm concerned, if you look at the Ward 8 situation, yes, he bussed in a group of people who registered on the spot. They were not prior registered individuals. The facts are that Vincent Gray won until Mayor Fenty's busload of people who were not registered Ward 8 Democrats came, demanded to be registered on the spot. They registered.
So they were bussed in?
They were bussed in. They were bussed in, and they voted and registered on the spot. As you know, this year, you can actually register on the day that you vote.
I see. I didn't know that.
Okay. The law has changed, and you can, as long as you can prove that you're a resident, I presume driver's license or whatever it is, you can vote on the day, a provisional ballot on the day of election.
I see.
So the terrain has changed, and he took advantage of it. Vincent Gray's operation was playing by the traditional rules. They have learned, and now we'll see what happens the next time around.
All right. Let me remind our listeners that you can call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222. Excuse me. Finish that for me, Josh.
WPFW.
.org. All right. If you're online, it's www.wpfw.org. So we're looking for some members here, and you've been quite good in getting us to get members, but we really, really need the support here, Josh.
What are you looking for this time around?
We're looking for about 12 people to go to their phones and give us a call. We have a package we're offering. I think it's of William Kunstler, you know, that very very bright,
famous attorney. Did he defend people in Chicago?
Oh, he defended people all over.
Yep.
If you know, he was just so good at what he did. And it's quite a loss. But we here at WPFW have information, have the kind of, voices and, information about what he has done. And we're offering it as a thank you gift. I have to go get the exact package that's been offered. And if I have somebody who can bring that to me. But we're offering that in addition to basic membership. Plus, we have logo items. We have T-shirts. We have caps. You know, whatever it is that you would like to get. And a basic membership, again, is $35. So we need people to go to the phone and give us a call at 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And last week, Josh, what you did helped tremendously. We did get quite a response to it.
And you got some new members?
We got the new members we were looking for. We appreciate that very much. And that's, we need renewing members, but we really, really also need new members. So just ask them to go to the phone.
We do, in fact, need new members. You cannot continue, guys out there, you cannot continue to rely upon people who are current members to carry the burden.
And that happens so much because, Josh, let me tell you, and you know because you listen to us, when we have a show and a host on and a topic is put forward, those phones are lit. I mean, lit for as long as the program is on, and they talk just nonstop. But it's harder when we're raising money. It's harder. They don't pick up the phone and call the 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And that's what we need you to do, because we can only let you talk back to us when we have money to pay the phone bill.
You
what I mean?
You know,
it's as basic as that.
I was kind of surprised in listening to WPFW, one of your colleagues indicated that it almost takes something like $100,000
a month to keep
WPFW on the air?
Yes. Almost. I mean, and that's when we're doing bare bone stuff. We're not even talking about doing, anything fancy. Just the bare things that we need to do. So we need the money.
You need the money, and the only place that it can come from are your listeners and the members of the family.
Yes.
So those listeners out there who have listened to WPFW, but have never given a dime, need to step up now. Yes, you need the renewing members, and we encourage the renewing members. But in addition to the renewing members, you've got to get new blood into the system, or else what will happen is that the people who have been carrying it are going to be discouraged because they are being taxed and taxed and taxed while others take advantage. These are what we call in the trade union movement, Gloria, free riders.
Well, there you go. I didn't even know what the term would be.
Free riders are those who get the benefit of the hard work of others and do not step up to make their own contribution. Those are free riders. And we in the trade union movement do not sympathize or cater to free riders. So those of you out there, take a look at yourself, $35.
Basic
and I
membership.
Will even extend it.
Okay.
Those of you out there who have never contributed, just the basics, step on up, do the basics. If you contribute to the show this morning, at the $35, the next 10 callers, the Labor Council will pick up $10. You only have to put up $25.
See what I mean? So let's see, and if you call and do that, you know, put it on your credit card. $25 is not a lot of money. I mean, on some credit cards, in your interest alone, you know, if you carry a balance, could exceed that. But let's have them go to the phone. Give us a call, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739.
You know, and I see the brothers and sisters. I mean, they'll go into a store, they'll buy a cigarette, they'll buy alcohol, mm-hmm. and they'll pay with credit card.
There you go.
They'll pay with credit card. So it isn't that it's tough to pay to use that plastic.
No.
$25. And what is that? Couple packs of cigarette or something like that?
And a bottle of wine, maybe.
And a bottle of wine?
Maybe, yes.
I mean, come on. $25 a day for 24 hours worth of service, 12 months out of the year, $25. You don't get a bargain like that anywhere in the United States.
Josh, I tell you, we thank you so much for your continued support, and that's why we can bring voices like yours here at WPFW. We're going to move on and go to Ambrose Eileen Sr. because he has been very... when you talk about support and giving your time and energy to this station, Ambrose Eileen Sr. is first among equals.
He's an icon. You know? He is truly an icon in the radio show business.
No question. And so we're going to move on to that. But 10 callers, if you put $25...
$25 up.
On your credit card.
We will put the additional 10.
All right. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Josh, we'll talk next week and have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. You take care. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We ourselves is right after this. We'll take a break and come back.
WPFW, Washington.